You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to a Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. Stay a while if you can. Chris Sims, former NFL quarterback working for Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports, will join us coming up in a little bit. Your phone calls are always welcome. We got a poll question or two. No updates on Tiger Woods, still in the hospital. If we find anything that will move the story forward, we certainly will. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Yesterday, we had Mike Florio on from Pro Football Talk, and we were talking about a variety of things. And then we got around to, at the end of the interview, talking about the 17-game schedule that's going to happen in the NFL. And I had a source tell me yesterday morning, I said, what is the holdup? And my source said, it's the TV money. They're still trying to finalize all these TV contracts with ESPN, ABC, with NBC, with Fox, if they're going to have Amazon, whoever it is, streaming. And they want to make sure they know just how much money is at stake, because the players are going to get a check for that 17th game. And then Mike Florio said, well, it's going to be 17 regular season games and 3 preseason games. And then he said, it's going to then move to 18-game regular season and 2 preseason games. So I followed up with my source yesterday after the show, and I said, and I trust Florio, but I said, you know, Mike said this about an 18-game schedule. And my source said, no, it can't happen. We have an agreement for 11 years that it would be a 17-game schedule. It can't go to 18 games. Can't. And this was from a source who would have information on this, working for the league. 17 games, 3 preseason games. It's not going to go to 18-game regular season and then 2 preseason games. But Mike thought that that would be the sort of natural evolution here. And this is what my source told me yesterday. So that's 11 years down the road if we get to an 18-game schedule. Now, I know contracts are meant to be broken, but I think they're trying to figure out how much money is going to be in play, and then what do the players get when they have all those TV deals done. But that's what I was told yesterday. There will be a 17th game to the regular season, 3 preseason games, but it does not evolve into, well, of course, you go 18 regular season games, 2 preseason games, because I was told there's an 11-year contract that has been agreed to. Yes, Paulie.
Which party would you think is holding up the 17-game schedule, the league or the players' union, or just details?
Well, this is about the owners and what they want from the networks.
So it's just about negotiating it.
Yeah, they're going to have a 17th game. They don't know how much money they're going to make. And I think that's what they want to know. Once they have the TV deals done, then I was told you'll have finalization on a 17th game for the regular season, and that they will do 3 preseason games. And I was told the 3rd preseason game is really important, because that's where you get guys who get a chance to make the team, but you also get the veterans to usually play that 3rd game as they get ready for the regular season. So it is important, but that's information that I wanted to give to you right off the top. DP Show newsletter, you get all kinds of tidbits like this. It's in the DP Show newsletter. Go to danpatrick.com to sign up, and just put in your email address. And it's the Cliff Notes version of the show. The guys in the back do a wonderful job in recapping everything that goes on during the show and things that are going to happen in the next couple of days. Also, if you go on there, you'll find out a huge sale going on, danpatrick.com. You know, Seton said yesterday, are you sure you want to give away all those T-shirts that we have for $10? And I said, yes. And I said, you know what I'm going to do, Seton? Everything else is going to be on sale on the website. Hats are 50% off. You know, the stock is limited with the T-shirts, because I think we sold 4,000 T-shirts yesterday. If you want something and, you know, they're great gifts or it's just for you, go there, danpatrick.com, and get in on all the savings. Yes, Seton.
All right. If you want to do day 2, go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
You're not drinking again, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No, I just said it's time. We give back a little bit here. Seton goes, you're not a good businessman. I said, no, but I'm a good guy.
I've always said that.
I know, but I'm a good guy. And that's all that matters there. Go there and stock up while you can. Take advantage of it, and we're happy, honored that you invest in us, literally. All right, we'll come up with a poll question. Play of the day, stat of the day coming up. The Jazz-Laker game last night, hardly a showdown of Western Conference powers. Right now, the Lakers don't look like a contender. And the Jazz continued their three-point barrage. They blew out the Lakers. And the Lakers are shorthanded. You don't have the offensive firepower. You don't have the defensive presence without Anthony Davis. But, you know, the question is always, here we are in February. Does this mean anything? What will the Jazz learn that will help them in May or June? They got a complete roster. I mean, they blew out the Lakers. Donovan Mitchell had an off night. Mike Conley stepped up. Bogdanovich, key bench players, Jordan Clarkson, Rudy Gobert, an all-star. You might not find too many holes in this Jazz lineup. And you know what I love about the Jazz when you watch them? Now, I know you're going to go, boy, they're not very exciting. And this is not gonna, this is not tune-in factor. Trust me, when I say this, you're not going to go, well, I got to go out of my way to watch the Utah Jazz now. They are as economical as any player in the NBA, any team in the NBA. They pass. They dribble less than any other team. Now, I know what you're saying. They pass quicker, more often than any other team in the NBA.
Don't do this.
I don't want to say, you know, boy, you got to go watch them. If you love basketball and you don't want to see somebody just pound the rock, watch the Utah Jazz. Now, this is similar to what Golden State did a couple of years ago with Klay Thompson. That doesn't mean they have Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, but I know what they're doing, how they're doing it. I don't know if it's sustainable when it gets to the postseason, but I don't have many questions with the Utah Jazz right now. I don't have any answers with the Lakers right now. And it's just the regular season, and it's no need to panic. But it's the Lakers, therefore it's clickbait, therefore people will say it's time to panic with the Lakers. This stretch isn't pretty for the defending champs, but let's see when everybody gets healthy. The season hinges on Anthony Davis. As great as LeBron is, can be, if Anthony Davis is not 100% or near that, they're not winning the championship. It's plain and simple. Because I keep waiting for the role players to step up. Because we all talked about, including yours truly, hey, they got depth. They're better than they were the previous year. If they don't have Anthony Davis, it doesn't matter. Because you've seen these players, and there's a ceiling to just how good they are. And LeBron is going to try to do too much. Here is LeBron after the loss to the Jazz.
Well, obviously, we all got to do a better job, you know, in our own individual self, and that will carry on to the team and, you know, and pick up in AD's and Dennis, you know, absence. You know, we just hit a rough patch, you know, and it happens throughout the course of a season. You know, you don't want it to happen, but when it does, you know, I think it defines character. It challenges you, and, you know, you just get ready for the bounce back. So you learn from tonight, learn from the previous games, and then get ready for the next one.
That's LeBron voice after a loss right there. And not much excitement in there. And you watch, and they're just not a good team. And if Anthony Davis comes back, when he comes back, if he's healthy, and this is where I would err to the side of caution if I'm the Lakers. You say a month, if it's 6 weeks, it's 6 weeks. I just want him healthy once they get to the postseason. But if you're not going to be healthy in May, it doesn't matter. You're not winning the championship there. And look, Utah's a good team. Denver's a good team. Clippers can be a good team. You know, there is competition out west. And it's not one of those where the Lakers can go through the motions and be able to win another championship. It's just not going to happen. But watching last night should be more about the Utah Jazz. It won't be. It'll be about the Lakers and the questions that we have and time to panic. Those will be the headlines. Nobody's going to say, you know what? Utah Jazz are pretty good. Because they are. It's a good team. Can it be a great team? Can it be a seven-game series great team? That'll be the key. Yeah, Paul.
Your Jazz last night, they play at the house that Jello built. They were 46% from three as a team, 22 of 48. They had 28 assists as a team and only 12 turnovers.
Yeah.
That's pretty nutty ratio.
I like what they do. It's not exciting basketball. It's not high flying. It's none of that. But it is, you know what your role is, and you take care of that role. And a lot of times as a coach, that's what you want. It's players who try to think they're something that they're not. That's where you get in trouble. Watching last night, and look, that's not necessarily, you know, a large sample size with this team, but that's probably the first time people have watched the Utah Jazz on national TV. By the way, great, great uniforms by the Utah Jazz last night. I liked it. I liked it a lot. This program brought to you by M-Drive, backed by science, powerful ingredients. The supplement I take every day. Go to mdrivedan.com, get free shipping. 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. McLevin, you got a poll question for me today.
Yes, I just want to say I feel as comfortable today as I did yesterday with my Jazz not reaching the conference final bet.
McLevin has a shower of shame.
Shower of Jello.
Shower of Jello with one of our listeners in Utah. We didn't know that Utah was, per capita, the biggest Jello state in the country. They love their Jello. We did not know that. We know that now. There are Utah Jellos. Yes, Paul.
They should sign LiAngelo Ball.
Oh, you've been sitting on that one.
Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah. I'll take that, Fritzy.
Yeah.
Wasn't there an old Astros pitcher named Mark LiAngelo?
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with the Utah Jazz.
I felt like I had to come back with something.
Why can't you just take your beating?
I can't. I'm a competitor.
Paulie hit a double off the wall.
He did. I thought I was maybe going to hit a single to bring him in.
Thanks, DP.
Oh. Now, you had a dribbler back to the mound.
I got him over to third, no? A sacrifice?
You didn't even get him over to the third.
I got him over to third, and then McLovin will hit a fly ball, and he'll tag up, and we'll get the run in.
I'm caught a rundown over here.
Yeah. All right, McLovin, what kind of poll question?
Will Rudy Gobert be bad, medium, or average?
No, that's not our poll question.
Who's worse in the playoffs, Jokic or Gobert? I've seen this Jazz team. They did the same thing last year. Okay, anyway.
You're doubling down on your Utah Jellos.
Yes, here's the reason. I'm not allowed to say the poll question today. I was given a strong request / demand to let Paul read the poll question.
Oh, is this the one that was brought up about an hour ago? Is this J.J. Watt? Okay, hold on.
You got territorial.
Hold on. Yeah, you're right. Hold on. Paulie's stretching before he gives you the poll question. J.J. Watt. Whenever J.J. Watt's name comes up, Paulie always feels like he is the, what are you, Paulie?
The gatekeeper?
Yeah, maybe.
It's like Andy Dalton or Case Keenum with McLovin. He cinches it in, you know, takes it.
Yes, McLovin.
It's like one of those stars who has a guy next to him you talk to talk to that star, like the rock stars, you know, like you can't talk directly to them. You talk to Paulie to get to JJ.
Like Dennis Rodman during the NBA Finals couldn't talk directly to Prince. He had to talk to Prince's bodyguard, who then relayed the message to Prince.
Since you brought up Prince, it'd be like Morris Day and Jerome from Purple Rain.
All right. All right, so your J.J. Watt-related poll question is?
J.J. Watt is a free agent. He's over 30 years old. He's got a few more years left to play, and he's made at least $100 million already. Okay. Based off that, if you were J.J. Watt, would you sign for a reported $15 million with a good team, such as the Bills or the Titans, or sign for half that, let's say $7 or $8 million, with a Super Bowl favorite, hence the Chiefs or maybe the Bucks?
Okay.
What would you guys do?
I don't want to spend somebody else's money, but if JJ wants to win, now the Titans and Bills, now I think he's going to the Bills. The Titans have emerged as one of the favorites as well, and maybe Green Bay in there. I said from the outset, if I'm J.J. Watt, I'm at least curious if the Chiefs are interested in me and vice versa. Because that would be, hey, I could go to the Kansas City Chiefs and I got a better chance of winning a championship there than I do Green Bay and Tennessee and Buffalo, at least I would think for next year. I don't know if he's interested in joining the cavalcade of all-stars with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, but if you said I could go to Kansas City for $7 million or I could go to the Titans for $15 million.
Let's put it that way.
Now, I know that he has a really good relationship with Mike Vrabel, who's the Titans head coach, and that would factor in as well. Playing for a guy that you who was on the Texans coaching staff, but if you want a ring, do you want to give the impression that you want a ring while you still want to get paid? If you know what I mean. Like, I want to win. I'm going to the Titans. Now, if he goes to the Chiefs, does he get critiqued like Carl Malone and Gary Payton did? Like, oh, you're trying to steal a ring. But 15 for a good team, 7 for the Kansas City Chiefs or Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't want to spend his money. Yes,
I don't want to spend his money either, but I'm taking that 7 all day. I don't know what kind of money he's got in the bank, but he's been paid well over the last however many years. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he spends a lot of money too. I don't know.
Let's do career salary here with J.J. Watt. By the way, I want to do career salary with Mike Conley of My Utah Jell-O.
Oh, that's fun.
I'm going to need a minute.
Yes, because that one, that's going to stun you. Okay, time to play career salary with J.J. Watt. Here's your host, Paulie Papps.
Thanks, Dan. 10 seasons in the league. First year in the league, he made $7 million with his signing bonus. Right. What? That's funny. I know my JJ. How much has JJ Watt earned up to this point in his NFL career? Now, there's a hint. It may have been mentioned earlier in the show by me.
I'm going to say $112
million. $100
million
even, Dan.
Oh, even Steven.
And I joked earlier that he's got $100 million in the bank.
Well, because you make it doesn't mean you have it in the bank.
He does not spend.
Oh, he doesn't spend
anything.
He's
very fiscally conscious.
No. So J.J. Watt's got money.
And, you would think a good career if you wanted afterwards. A ring really helps.
Okay. Do you see him as a broadcaster? I don't.
I think the networks would do.
Yeah, but that's a guy you want to see. Yeah, you don't want to hear as much as you want to see. J.J. Watt.
I wonder if he would do something like Peyton Manning is doing, where he would travel around and shoot a show.
Yeah. I mean, I see him more in the Gronk, you know, that kind of feel there where the Watt brothers continue to do some things. Yes,
he strikes me as the kind of guy who's not going to be happy in the booth or in a studio somewhere. I think he wants to be right out on the practice field, like some kind of defensive end coach or something where he's like, he wants to be around all the guys and doing all the stuff.
How about he plays for the Titans for 2 years, and Mike Vrabel says, why don't you just join the staff?
That's exactly right.
He doesn't wear a suit and tie.
No way. He wants to be around dudes lifting weights and tackling each other.
Yeah. Smacking each other on the rear end. Yeah, McLovin.
I totally agree that he does want all that, but you know assistant coach hours and pay? There's no way he's going to want that.
He's already got his money.
Right, but they have to work like 80-hour weeks breaking down tape.
He doesn't.
So you can be like sort of an honoree who comes out there and slap butts.
Why does he have to break down the tape? He's already broke down those offensive linemen.
That's true.
He already knows.
What about a movie star like Howie Long?
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see
like
him.
Like an action film.
Yeah, I could see that.
Hey, rookie, go get the bag of balls.
That's what I see him doing.
Really? Still being like, hey, rookie. Wait, hey, Rook.
That's Gronk. That's not J.J. J.J. Watt doesn't sound like that.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how to do his impression then. If it's
Paulie,
not,
how does J.J. sound?
Like an angel.
Oh, J.J. Oh.
We're a bunch of good-ass dudes. We pay our taxes on time. We're ready to play some football and get home, get a nutritious breakfast,
good.
10-hour sleep.
That was from Hard Knocks. That wasn't actually J.J.
Good-ass dudes.
We're a bunch of good-ass dudes. But off the field.
We help grandmas.
Yeah.
Crosswalk. That was funny, though.
And then we played it for him during Super Bowl week.
I thought, you know, because I said to Paulie, I said, you know, we've made fun of JJ with that speech. We should at least play it for him and tell him that we made fun of him. Do you have it, Seton?
Hey, the philosophy of this squad is off the field, we're good-ass dudes. We're nice guys. We do the right thing. On the field, when you step on the field, you're the baddest on the planet. And together, we're the baddest team on the planet. And that's the way we're going to attack every day. I don't care who walks into our building. I don't care whose building we walk into. We're the baddest out there. Texans on three. 1, 2, 3, Texans.
We're building playgrounds?
Okay.
Balanced diet.
Yeah. We're volunteering our time.
Kick some ass and get back to the community. On three. Let's go.
Spaghetti dinners at the BFW. All of that. We're doing it all.
Mow a lawn for an old lady, won't you?
Tag sales. We're doing tag sales. Let's take a break.
That was a good
time.
Do
we have to?
Yeah, we should.
Okay. We're crushing this.
Yeah, we should. We should take a break. Chris Sims is going to join us. Maybe I'm wrong on the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger, but I had some people who were critiquing my critique of the Steelers bringing back Ben Roethlisberger. I thought, all right, is he going to lead you to a championship? And the answer is no. Do you want him back for a farewell tour? Okay, but he sets you back even the following year. I'd like to know what their strategy is. Is Dwayne Haskins their future? We'll talk to Chris Sims about that coming up. Phone calls are always welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. 22 after the hour. Just getting started. Dan and the Dan on Dan Patrick Show. Shaved today, Dollar Shave Club. And I use the six-blade cartridge. That's designed for daily shavers. And you can get the four-blade cartridge for less frequent shavers like Seton. But you can get both cartridges in the same starter box. Dollar Shave Club. What, Seton?
I don't shave because I grow a beard.
Well, it took you. How many years did it take you to grow that beard?
Well, I keep it cropped a little short, so it doesn't look so thin, but it still does.
Dollar Shave Club. Both cartridges in a new starter box, and you can get it at your favorite store. You can go to danpatrick.com, or I should say Dollar Shave Club, /Patrick.
Easy for you to say.
3-2-1, $shaveclub/Patrick, and check out Dollar Shave Club at your nearest store. And you can use the razor that I use to appear in front of millions of people every day. You can have questions and they got answers. Welcome to the club. Dollar Shave Club. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Where other vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond. From their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew, Mercedes-Benz vans, built, equipped, and engineered to be ready for anything, go the extra mile. Taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Update the poll results, McLovin, then we'll bring in the popular Chris Sims from Pro Football Talk Live.
If you were J.J. Watt, would you rather sign for $15 million for a good team, like a playoff team like the Titans, or $7.5 million for a Super Bowl contender like the Chiefs or Bucks?
Well, how about you put it in parentheses, $15 million, Titans, Bills, Packers, $7.5 million, Chiefs, and the Buccaneers.
Okay, Packers are on that Bills-Titans line,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so far the early results are 83% say they'd take the $7.5 million.
Okay, yes, Paul.
The Chiefs are the favorite to win the Super Bowl. Buccaneers are right next to them. Then it drops a tier to Packers, Bills, Rams, Niners. Then it drops another tier to Ravens, Browns, Saints, Seahawks, Colts, Pittsburgh Steelers, Miami Dolphins. The Tennessee Titans are 12th in odds to win the Super Bowl as of right now.
But J.J. has a relationship with Mike Vrabel, and would he want to stay in that division, in the AFC South? But let's bring in Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live. Where do you stand on that question, Chris?
Well, as far as the AFC South's concerned, and good to see you, Dan, but I don't think he'll have an issue with that. I mean, the Titans still have so many things to like about their football team. And of course, you know, defensive line, lack of pass rushers, disruptors, secondary, the defense needs to be improved there. You know, J.J. Watt fits into any scheme. He can do 4-3, 3-4. I think that's why you see so many teams interested in him. And yeah, that history between Mike Vrabel, there is certainly something there to it. And really, the way Houston has run their organization here the last few years, I'm not so sure J.J. Watt wouldn't like going to play Tennessee and sticking it to them here, you know.
I mean the Texans.
Yeah, sorry. Yes, yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if he wouldn't mind sticking it to them and just going, hey, you know, here I am. I'm with a winner. Eat that.
But I wonder if, you know, we always say, well, it's not always about money. It always feels like it's about money. J.J. Watt's made $100 million in his career. Right. How important is winning? And if that's the case, why not go to the, why not say to the Kansas City Chiefs, hey, whatever you want to pay me, I'm coming there. We're winning a championship.
No, I agreed. I don't think that's crazy. I mean, Green Bay up there, they could use guys. They still have deficiencies as far as their interior part of their defensive line. And at this point of his career, you kind of said it right, Dan. He's got a ton of money. You know, I don't think that should be, or at least if I was in his situation, wouldn't be the make or break point to me. It'd be, hey, pay me something respectful, and you know, I'll try to add to your team. You know, J.J. Watt's still a really good player, but we know he has had a little bit of injury history over the last few years, and his production has fallen off. I mean, for the sack master he was, you know, I think he's had 26 and a half sacks or somewhere around there over the last 5 years. So he's not the same guy he was, but I certainly do think he brings value to a team. I can't imagine a team paying him $15, $16 million a year at this point. I'm not sure if I believe those reports yet. I'd have to hear something a little more substantial to believe that one.
When do you buy into a mock draft or mock drafts?
Not right yet. I know that.
But at what point in the process do you go, that might be a little truer representation of what teams are going to do?
I would say when you get to those last 2 or 3 weeks before the draft, there's just too many unknowns right now. You know, and no disrespect, but there's so many media outlets. There's a lot of people who, you know, are not the best evaluators or qualified to do that. So I want to be like, okay, well, I mean, you don't know. And then the other thing I think that's into this, and the teams don't know yet. The teams are just starting to dive into the draft themselves here. It's been free agency, figuring out our own team. What do we need? How are we going to balance the salary cap and all of those things too? So that, of course, once they start to figure out the draft, it filters out to the people I do respect in the business, you know, the Danielle Jeremiahs and those guys. They start to get a feel for what they're hearing from teams. And then that's the time when I start to go, oh, okay, all right, I'll pay attention to that mock draft. Ooh, there's some logic there. I know he knows this team, so there's something there to that. And that's when I start to really pay attention.
But you get this guy's rising, this guy's falling. Well, they haven't played a game in months, and right, it feels like we're getting to the point when the coaches or the GMs or the scouts are able to get a better handle on assessing just how good these players are. Like Mac Jones at Alabama. All right, of a sudden, Mac Jones is moving up. Like, what did Mac Jones do or not do that makes him, you know, rise up in the first round?
Well, I think like kind of what I just said is there's too many, and again, I'm not, there's just too many unqualified people making qualifying statements at times here and just, oh yeah, Mac Jones, end of the first round. I've said it every day this week. I said it on my podcast. Mac Jones and I'm early here, Dan. I've really only looked at like good throws of these quarterbacks. I'm about to dive in here. Mac Jones is a better prospect than Tua. Mac Jones is going to go in the top 10 from just what I've seen right now. I'd be shocked. I think there's going to be four probably in the top eight. Just a base comment right now, and you can have me on in a few weeks, and I'll really get into the nitty-gritty with these quarterbacks and give you a great breakdown and all those type of things. But I think that's what it is, and I think what you're hearing rising is what we just talked about too. Now some of the people in the media are talking to people in the NFL who have just started to turn on the film, and they're going, this Mac Jones guy, all he does is throw spirals, perfect throws, NFL-type throws. He can change his arm angle and do those type of things. And I think that's why you're kind of hearing that chatter right now.
Yeah, but he was throwing to guys who are, I mean,
I know.
When's the last time a team had four first-round draft picks over the, you know, a two-year period? And that's what you're going to have with Alabama.
I get you. I know. You know, hey, you know me. I was not a huge Tua guy last year by any stretch of the imagination. I was all Joe Burrow and Herbert. I thought they were special. You know, I made a lot of statements that Herbert, I thought, had the higher ceiling than Joe Burrow in the draft and those type of things. Trevor Lawrence got talent around him too in Clemson. I think when it goes down to it, it's about okay, you know, what was available? What was there to be had? Did he take advantage of all that was there to be had? You've heard me say this before. When there's nothing there to be had, what happens? And then can I see NFL type throws that I think translate, you know, from college to the NFL? And that was my, you know, my hesitation with Tua last year. But I saw enough just in the little clips I've seen and just TV scouting during the year where pockets collapsing, things aren't perfect, and he could still make a high-level throw to where I went, ooh, I like that about him. Yes, you're going to have to take into account those type of things, the talent around him and all of that. And, of course, Waddle, who was hurt most of the year, yeah, he's going to be – you know, a top 20 pick, and Devontae Smith's going to be a top 20 pick too. Like, these two receivers he had to play with this year, I think are better than Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs. I'll just say that right off the bat.
Yeah.
So he certainly had help, but that's part of evaluating, and you just got to take, you know, the best of what you can and see, does that translate to NFL football life?
He's Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live. Mike Florio said yesterday, doesn't think Deshaun Watson gets traded.
Ooh. I'm not so sure I'm ready to go down that lane yet. I'm not. I have pretty good info that Deshaun Watson is not afraid to sit out the year. I really do. I've heard that from people I really trust in league circles.
But also, Chris, and I want to be fair to Florio.
Sure.
You know, he said, look, they may be saying, hey, yeah, we're not taking offers while they are taking offers. But doesn't it make the most sense for the Texans to say what Detroit did with Matthew Stafford? We're open for business because teams are going to start signing up free agents. They're going to get ready for the draft. And then all of a sudden, I limit the pool of resources of teams that might be giving you a true treasure trove for Deshaun Watson. I don't understand, you know, the timing of it is curious.
I don't either. And listen, I'm not trying to, you know, push back on Mike. I mean, Mike's got a great feel for the league. He knows people. Everything I know, and this is why he said it, and I think he's heard that we've heard the same things because we've talked about this on our show. The Texans they're not open for business. Like, I know some of these teams that are interested in Deshaun Watson, and they've you know, led me to believe that they don't think the Texans are doing anything right now. I'm more of what you're saying. I would go, what? Like, let's get Denver and the Carolina Panthers and the Miami Dolphins, you know, into, you know, a bidding war here so we can maximize what we get for Deshaun Watson. Because the organization's dysfunctional down there. There's a lot of people and players on that team that don't want to be there, but they're not Deshaun Watson. He has the support from players on his team who have told him, like, hey, go. We understand you want to get out of here. We get it. And it's always dangerous to bring that kind of player quarterback back into your locker room, as you know, when he's upset or doesn't like being there. You know, he's the leader of the team. He's going to start trashing coaches and the owner and the GM and things like that. And it's going to embolden the rest of the locker room, and it's going to make things more dysfunctional. So that's where I think, you know, to your point, I would start opening up business now and start getting those conversations going.
Yesterday I said I didn't understand what the Steelers were doing with Ben Roethlisberger. They're not winning a championship, another championship with him. You want to bring him back, farewell tour, that's one thing. But I think bringing him back, no matter what the salary is, it also will probably hamper you the following season. Now, like, right, I got to get started here. You know, can you keep Bud Dupree? You got some younger players there. Now's the time to win, and you might be the third best team in your own division, and Ben might be the fourth best quarterback in his own division. So explain the logic of what the Steelers are doing, and am I too critical on what they're, you know, keeping Ben Roethlisberger?
No, I think you make all the right points. You know, the one thing I'll say about Big Ben, you know, I do believe he was banged up, you know, the second half of the year. His arm is still good. It's not great anymore, but he can still hit the 20-yard out or the deep post 50 yards down the field with ease. So there is something there. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing I'll say, you know, to what you're saying, because you said it, I mean, their defense is a Super Bowl defense. I would hope Big Ben, like you talked about with J.J. Watt, would just go, wait, this is, I want to play because I want to play, my legacy, all of those type of things, and would take – you know, a huge salary reduction. So maybe they can get a Bud Dupree back, who's coming off an ACL tear too, where I think that might hurt his ability to get a big time, you know, contract on the market. And I think actually favors Pittsburgh to maybe get him back. But you said it. And then here's, you know, so they're a little stuck in between. One, show me the options that are better that they can get right now on their football team at the quarterback position. They're going to be in no man's land, I think, for the most part in the draft.
Yeah.
You know, as at quarterback, at least for the first rounders there, I don't think they can do anything. The big thing they have to do is do their best to keep their defense intact. And a little bit of a disservice to Big Ben last year anyways. And some of this might have been his doing, right? We heard the rumors that he might have been, you know, run play was called and he got to the pass and all those type of things. But they got to get back to balanced football. You know, one thing I've talked about with them is they became predictable within their predictability. And I think I said that to you during the year. We knew they were going to throw it every play. And then you're like, and they're going to throw every play 5 or 6 yards right here and right here and right here. And that, you know, he's not Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or that at this point of his career. They need to get back to running the ball, protect him. And I would think, like, look at what Tampa Bay did with Tom Brady. If you could run the ball and protect him, he's still going to be able to beat defenses with one-on-one matchups and his ability to throw the ball down the field. And I think that's probably where they came to this situation right now.
Good to talk to you, Chris, and we look forward to your deep dive into the quarterbacking position, because I will say history's on your side with picking out who you think will be the most successful quarterback. Would you take Herbert over Burrow right now?
Yeah, I would. I definitely would. You know, Herbert's special. And of course, there's the injury related. I love Joe Burrow's year. I mean, he made a lot of chicken salad out of chicken, you know what?
Yeah.
But Herbert is just big athlete, incredible arm. I mean, incredible. I mean, it's Josh Allen, Mahomes. It might not have the flair and everything like that, but his ability to make throws in awkward positions or people around him are really good. And yeah, I think he's a superstar. I really do.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, buddy. Be good. Say hi to the guys.
That's Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk co-host with Mike Florio. We'll take a break. We got our play of the day up next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play's cool play of the day.
Turn left, my God!
Check this out.
Shea giving it. Keith Horford driving on a hurdle. Right corner of Dort for three in the lead and wins. A Tanga Thunder Buddy ball. Lucas Dort falls backward in celebration. Mobbed by his teammates. OKC wins it at the buzzer. 102-99 over the Spurs.
Thunder Radio Network. Lou Dort hits the game winner at the buzzer. Thunder over the Spurs. Thunder play next at home against your Atlanta Hawks. Play of the day. Play of the day is brought to you by Built Bar. Low calorie, low carb, and you get 16 grams of protein. Tastes great. It's like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Promo code DP20, 20% off your first order. We were going to play the Mike Conley career salary game since we're on the Utah Jazz this morning. Paulie, do you have the information for Mike Conley career salary game?
Wow, this is
Well, we played the J.J. Watt career salary game. Now, time for the Mike Conley career salary game. Here's your host, Paulie.
Do you want to do Mike Conley career salary game? Oh, man. With Greg Oden mixed in? Just to throw that in there? They played together?
No.
I think I'll shout Greg Oden. No necessary. 14 seasons for Mike Conley in the league. He always averages about 14-7.
Yeah.
Very good player. He's made...
He's an all-star.
This year would be his first all-star game.
It is.
I don't think he made it.
I have him going 0 for his career as an All-Star.
Oh, I thought he was an one All-Star game.
No, I think I actually looked it up. I thought he was a multiple, but no. But that's what makes this crazy number.
Probably going to the Hall of Very Good then.
He has made more money for somebody who's never made an All-Star game in the history of the sport.
His lowest salary of his career was his rookie year. He made $3.3
million. All right.
This year he's making a lot more than that. Career salary for Mike Conley, including this season. Hold on.
Okay. I'm going to go.
Wow.
$273 million.
You're high, but...
Yes, I am. Was I close, though?
I've got $208 million and counting for Mike Conley. He's making $34 million this year.
Oh, you included that in this?
Yeah, because that is part of his contract. Okay. So he's at $208 mil without making an All-Star game.
$208 million.
Secondary question. Has anyone ever made over $200 million in the NBA besides Mike Conley without making an All-Star appearance? We're going to look into that. Joe Johnson, I'm sure, made an All-Star team. With that star power.
But has he made $200 million? Yes, McLovin.
I have an interesting article on the best players never to make an All-Star game, and Conley's high up on that list. Okay. So we got to check. There are some guys who might have gotten paid. Jason Terry, Andre Miller, Marcus Camby, Shane Battier, Rod Strickland, Sam Perkins. Any of those guys get paid?
Well, not $200 million. Yeah, Paulie.
Joe Johnson's made 6 All-Star appearances.
Yeah, take that.
I must have missed those.
But he hasn't made $200 million.
Joe Johnson made $220.
God!
Beige Camrys for days, baby.
Ugh. Isn't that amazing?
Lamar Odom's never made an All-Star game. That surprised me.
He's not going to either.
you're officially calling that?
I'm just letting you know.
I'll take her.
Yeah, he's not going to make an All-Star team. Joe Johnson made $220 million.
That's right. God. Hey, you put up 17 and 9. You're going places.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, McLovin.
How good is Mike Conley? I can never tell. Like, he's not quite a star, is he?
No. He was a lottery pick. Wasn't he picked by Memphis?
Yeah. He had a very nice career.
Yeah.
Is having.
But what are his career numbers? 17 and 8? Does that sound about right? 17 points, 8 assists?
I got him at 15 and 6.
Oh.
For his career. His best season, he was he averaged 20 points with Memphis a couple years ago. 20 and 6. Did not make the All-Star team.
Yeah.
That was that good Memphis team with Zach Randolph and the guys.
Yeah. Yeah, McLovin.
By the way, are you completely over the All-Star snubs story?
I'm glad Devin Booker is making. Nobody wants to play in the All-Star game, but they all want to be named to the All-Star team. Devin Booker, great. He was an All-Star last year. Good. You want to put him in this year? Great. With Anthony Davis not being able to play, I'm fine with this. Is there any other snub that, you know, we need to be aware of? I still can't believe the Celtics, being this bad, got 2 All-Stars. Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
But those are all-star players, aren't they?
But I think team success has to factor in a little bit here, doesn't it? How many times... Yeah, I mean, check this, because I don't know if a team under 500 has ever had 2 all-stars before the Boston Celtics this year. And what happened to the Celtics? Don't you look worse if you have 2 All-Stars and you're under 500 in the East? You think that McLovin's been piling on the Utah Jazz? Wait till you hear from Nick Wright, Fox Sports 1. He'll join us coming up next. One more item as we close out the first hour. The Apex Irons officially in my golf bag, thanks to Callaway. And we get a chance to experience the feel and precision of a Tour Pro Player's Iron. All the technological benefits there. Callaway has built on the legendary Apex franchise with the help of artificial intelligence. The Apex 21 Iron's amazing combination of tour feel. You get distance, shot-making control, and that forged blade feel. That's like the players use. Now, there's a lot of irons out there. There's the Apex Pro. That's for the single and the scratch handicap players. There's also the new Apex DCB deep cavity back. That's what I use. There's also the Apex, the standard irons. That fits a majority of swings. You know, there's a lot of irons out there, but nothing delivers everything like Apex. You can find out which Apex irons are right for you. Go to CallawayGolf.com/Apex. That's CallawayGolf.com/Apex.